This conference is being recorded.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Live Richly call. Today is Tuesday, January 16th, and it's 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Leslie Cunningham with SpringWindCoaching.com. And we have these Live Richly calls the first three Tuesdays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And I've designed these calls to help empower and give you the tools to create financial success in your life. So specifically on these calls, we learn how to take external and internal action towards building wealth. And I really believe that internal part is just as important as external. So when I say internal, I'm talking about our efforts to interact with our partners in more positive, connecting ways around money issues, our lifestyles, how we run our businesses, how we think about money, and our spending habits around money. And external actions, meaning how we create spending plans, how we spend our money, how we save our money. Do we have enough money that we set up in our retirement accounts? What are the specific action steps that we need to take to create financial success in our life? And, I mean, let's face it, if we're struggling about with money, if we're arguing with our partners, and if we don't have enough money coming in, our life does not, it's not in balance. It doesn't feel like it's in balance. And this money stress gets in the way of living more fully. So the benefit of participating in these calls is that we start living our lives in a whole new way. And what I like to say is that we create true wealth in our lives, not just in terms of our savings account and checking accounts, but in terms of our relationships, our personal time, our lifestyle, and the things that we really value and that matter most to us. So that is what these calls are about. And as I mentioned before I started the recording, I have so much to cover today. The topic for today is financial dating. And I'll give you just a brief overview of what I'm going to try and cover, keeping in mind we might not be, it just might not be realistic to get through all of this. So I'm going to share my personal story. And I am also going to give you, kind of explain in more detail what financial dating is and who it's for, kind of what are the benefits to this, and specifically, so who it's for, what it is, and I've developed 7 keystones for having successful financial dates. So I'm going to talk about one of those. And then I'm also going to talk about this formula that I came up with for having financial dates with your partner or with yourself. When I came up with this idea and I was sharing it with other people, they said that they had heard that they were supposed to have money conversations with their partners, but they didn't know what they were supposed to do, and they didn't know how to do it. So I created a formula which is amazing. It makes it more than just talking about money. It makes it a more connecting. It's about connection as well as taking action. And so the last part that I have is just kind of like overview that I have of like the financial picture. What are the goals that you'll want to be working towards to create financial success in your life? And I wrote about this in my last newsletter. A lot of people don't really have an idea of this overall picture. And so I have developed a checklist for people so that they can understand what their overall financial picture is. What are these goals that we want to be working towards? And then what are the specific action steps towards achieving those goals? So we have 50 minutes. That's a lot to cover. We'll see how far we get. But So before I share my personal story, I just want to throw this out there for you guys to kind of think about. I'd like you to think about a couple of things, and you might want to, if you have a paper and pen handy, just write these down. And as I'm sharing my story, think about these things for yourself. What are the problems that you're currently feeling challenged with when it comes to money? So what are your current problems that you feel challenged with regarding money? Then the second piece to that is, what do you want? How would you like it to be? If you were no longer going to have this problem, what would take its place? What would it look like? And the third one is, why do you want that? And this is very powerful. A lot of coaches and a lot of, Jeff was mentioning Tony Robbins, right, Jeff? You were talking about Tony Robbins, I think. He really talks about this why piece. Why do we want this? So think about these three things for yourself as I'm sharing my personal story. And then when I get done, I'd like to hear a little bit from the two of you, those parts that you feel comfortable sharing, just to get some feedback about what your problems are, what you'd like it to be like, and why you would like it to be that way. Why do you want this change in your life?
Sounds good.
What's that?
I said sounds good.
Okay, great. So as far as my personal story, I came up with this concept about 2 years ago when my husband and I were first married, and we had actually, I had quit my current job that I had at the time and took some time off to go traveling with him. He is a professional singer-songwriter, and so we hit the road for several months. And I had savings, and we were making money while we were on the road, but our lifestyle was completely different than this conventional lifestyle that maybe most couples have when they first get married. And after we had done this traveling, we took a trip overseas to New Zealand for 2 months, which was awesome. It was incredible. And we had savings that we had put aside for this trip, but as kind of the inevitable happened, we ran out of our savings, and we ended up putting a lot of that of our trip on credit cards. So we did our traveling. We came back, and we were trying to sort through the bills and our financial situation and just settling into a new home. And I don't remember the specific point of time when this happened, but I remember this feeling just kind of growing within myself of this realization of, hey, I'm not handling my money on my own anymore. It's not just me making these decisions. And here's my husband, who I loved very much, and we had a great relationship. I mean, we're newlyweds, right? And so, of course, it was awesome. But I didn't have any idea how he handled money. And it scared me because I had my way of doing things, which, of course, was the right way, right? We all,
of course.
We all believe that our way is the right way. So I asked him if he would be willing to sit down and have these financial dates. That's what I called it. I said, I don't know what we're going to do, but would you at least be willing to sit down and we could talk about money and figure out how to get rid of some of this credit card debt? And he was willing to do it. And I say willing because that's about all it was at that point. He was willing, and he's a very open individual, but he was also skeptical of this. And really all that matters is that your partner has a willingness to do it. Once you guys start going through this process, the changes will be motivating for both you and your partner, and you will see a big shift take place. Like for my husband, After he started seeing our credit card debt going down, we consolidated our credit cards, began to pay it off. I mean, and that was just one of the first financial goals that we had. He would get so excited. I mean, he could not hardly wait till we finished our date for him to start doing some of the action steps that needed to be done. And so think of this as far as if you're going to go through this process for yourself, think about, and not with a partner at this time, think about how you could, how you might be willing to have a set a certain time that you set aside each month to have a financial date with yourself to take specific action steps on your finances. And I'll give you many more details around that, but just think about how this might apply to yourself. So this was amazing what happened and with my husband and I. And the surprising thing for me was, well, I expected that we would create a lot of financial, that we would make a lot of changes in our finances. That didn't surprise me, but the part that did surprise me was how much closer we felt as a couple because we were focused on these goals as a couple, and it was so exciting. So our relationship changed, and our finances significantly improved. So if I could just kind of, I don't know, summarize for me, our problem, you know, these questions that I asked you guys to think about, you know, our problem and challenge that we had in the very beginning was having this credit card debt and initially not knowing how to pay it off, and that was the big motivating thing. And the second problem was not knowing how each other handled money, me not knowing how my husband handled money, and not knowing how we could work together. And what we wanted, or I guess I should say what I wanted, was for us to find a way to peacefully work on our finances together so we could do this as a team so there would be connection instead of conflict. And you know what? As far as that why part, at the point when we started this, the only why was because I wanted, I wasn't even honest. To be honest with you guys, I wasn't even clear on my why, but the big thing was I wanted to feel secure. I guess in hindsight, I would say that was my motivation. I wanted to create a foundation for our marriage of success and security in our relationship and our finances.
Great.
Yeah. So what did, you know, as far as your individual kind of the challenges and what you want and the why. What are some of those? Now, you might have, like, several, and just think of, you know, maybe a few that you feel comfortable sharing.
Ladies first.
Well, problems that I feel challenged with our of course paying, getting organized, I think, as to even how to pay it off, to pay what I need to pay. I mean, I've been real blessed with a gift in order to pay off some credit card debt, but like organization in how I work with my finances, I feel really challenged with all of that. I guess even how to begin or how to work the action steps and all that. And so if it could be how I want it, I would feel, I guess, like I have the knowledge, I have the skills to work with finances, not just, you know, at the level that I'm at right now, but also so that I can feel empowered to build from where I'm at, like a kind of a gap, a hole that's not filled in with knowledge and skills that I feel like I'm missing. I feel like I certainly got the ability. I just don't have the skills. And why do I want it? Again, I also want the security. I also just want the ease in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want as stress-free as I can get it, you know. Okay, that's it.
That's great. That's wonderful, Chris. And I've noticed in my work with people, that's a big thing for many people as far as wanting that knowledge and skills. And this doesn't just apply to women. Many men have told me, when they're being very honest, that they don't really know how to go about doing this. And the other piece that I've noticed for people is that with money, even though we're raised, you know, we don't really have these many money conversations when we're growing up. And so a lot of us don't really get money. And when I work with clients, one of the things that they tell me as a result of our work together is that they start to relate to money. They start to understand it. It's very integral. It's not something removed and out there. And so having the knowledge and skills so that it's not something out there that you read about in a book, but that you really get, right? It's part
right.
of you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Yes, thank you. That's definitely, you know, a part of it for me as far as organization. But I'd say at this current time, you know, and I've mentioned this to you, I think, before, Leslie, on other calls, is that, mm-hmm. you know, my wife and I, we've moved around a lot, and now we have 3 kids, and we're certainly done having children, and I kind of have a new career, and she's, you know, happy to be concentrating on being home with the kids right now, and so we're really kind of excited, and I mentioned that we moved around, and now we've established that this Dayton, Ohio, where we are now, is the place that we're going to stay, and that's where we're going to kind of make our roots. And so with my new career and our new place, we kind of feel like we've got it all,
mm-hmm.
except for money. So, you know, we know what we want to do. We know how we want to live our life. The only piece is having a, you know, cash flow. We want to save for things. We want to have we don't want to be making decisions about preschool and decisions about all different things going, well, how much will it cost, though? And I'm not talking about extravagant things. I'm talking about kind of the basics and then some fun things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, deciding we could have a babysitter or we can go out to dinner, but we can't do both, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just would like to have enough money. And so that's our biggest challenge. And then probably related to that, the reason why I'm so excited about the whole financial dating concept is even when money was pretty good, when we were both working and, you know, now I'm entrepreneurial, when I had a salary and she had a salary and benefits and all those fun things, we still had money stresses. And I think that stemmed. So in other words, there's a problem that we don't have now. We don't really fight about money because there is none.
Uh-huh.
But when there's enough that we have to make some decisions, like right now it's obvious where it goes. It goes to frantically try to pay all our bills.
Right.
But at the point when there was enough, you know, when we were trying to have these conversations about money, there was a lot of stress because, and I know you'll probably talk about money personality and things like that, and we definitely, I don't know where we're at, but we're different. We definitely have different money backgrounds and different philosophies. So there was definitely fighting around money. My wife kind of stresses a lot when we have money conversations. She really would like to wash her hands of the whole thing, but
mm-hmm.
she's more organized than me, so she is the one who pays the monthly bills.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's hard for her to wash her hands of it and give it to me, and then she'll just stress that I'm going to forget to, you know, pay the gas bill or something, you know.
Right.
So, like, she can't wash her hands of it, but she wants to, so.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so.
So if you could summarize your why, Jeff, what would that be?
You know, I'd like there to be enough money because that's it. It's the last thing for us, you know. We thankfully are very healthy and happy with one another and with our children and with where we are in life. And so I feel like it's the missing piece. And we know it's in our grasp, having enough money, having financial security.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. That's it for us. That's what I was saying, you know.
The piece that I started interrupting you about because I feel excited about is that I also heard you say that although when you had a lot of money coming in, there was also money stresses as well. So I'm just trying to encourage you to tie that why together as far as having more money and...
Yeah, right. For having more money and, you know, so the main money problem is having more money, but I'm from our history, I'm smart enough to know that I will also need a system for us communicating around money so that, A, we don't fight about it, and B, when the income is there, because that's not the whole story, there's, you know, expenses and keeping it and growing it, investing and all those. I want to be able to do all those things without stress and making sure I'm doing the right things, you know?
Great. That's wonderful. I'm just going to write down a little bit of what you said. Make sure you're doing the right things. So that's what I was trying to get at, like tying those together, because a lot of people think that the answer is just in making more money. And I've had clients that have attended workshops that I've led, and they've told me, you know what, I don't have a problem making money. That is not a problem for me. I can go make money. And I have all these bills that I need to pay. My problem is learning how do I pay off these bills? And that might sound like an obvious, simple thing, but when it comes to money, there's so much involved, a lot more than just knowing what to do, right?
Right.
It's actually doing it, and it's our habits around it and our beliefs around it. So I think that's great, Jeff, that you have that awareness that it's more than just making money, but it's about having this system in place so that you guys can have these conversations without the stress that you had before in the past.
Yep.
Yeah. And I like to ask this why part because it's very motivating. For me, when I started realizing the why whenever I set a goal, and I just became familiar with this concept like a month ago, even though I had heard about it peripherally, like understand why you want something. It really didn't mean anything to me until I heard this one particular speaker talk about it, and it was on a prosperity call. And when I thought about, you know, for myself, why I wanted some things for myself, it was almost like it took my goal from just this flat goal to this really multi-dimensional, multicolored. It's almost like I was looking at my goal in black and white. And all of a sudden, it turned into this brilliantly colored, you know, full color film. And I understood it, and I, like, got it. And it was so exciting when I understood why I wanted some of my goals. So that's kind of the thing to take away are these things that you guys talked about. You know, Chris, you mentioned the security and ease and stress, being stress-free. And Jeff, you talked about more money and not having that stress when you have the money conversations with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right, so let's see. Gosh, I have my list of notes here. I am so excited to share some of this. So as far as who is financial dating for, as I mentioned, financial dating is something that you can do as an individual, and it's also something I've designed it for couples, but you can easily do it as an individual. So it's for couples, as far as the couples part, for couples who want to improve their finances as a team. Now, I've talked to many people when they ask me what I do, and I tell them that I do financial coaching. They say, oh, you know, we have our system down. I pay the bills. My husband does the investments or, you know, whatever it is that their roles are that they play. And our system works great. So my husband does his thing. I do my thing. Now, that to me, if that's the system that you set up and it works for you, then that's great. But financial dating is not for people that want to separate things in their life. And it's for people that want to work as a team. And they want to have conversation around money. It's for individuals who really want to take action in their life. They want to do it themselves as opposed to it isn't for people who want to be handed a financial plan from a financial planner and simply be told what to do. I mean, you can easily go see a financial planner for that. This is for people who really want to invest in understanding their finances as individuals or as partners in their relationship. They want to roll up their sleeves and do the work and really get it. And let's see, what else did I have down here? It's for couples who are committed to growing closer and using their differences and their conflict to create growth and connection. And it's really for people who are committed to taking action, changing their behaviors, so that they can really get it at a very integral level. So if I was reading in this book, it was a financial book, and the author was using this analogy about preparing for a race. And she said, you know what, if you just want to go out and go running every so often when you feel like it, then this kind of work that she was proposing, financial work, is not for you. And I really adhere to that same concept, financial dating. If you just want to do it every so often, look into your finances, try and figure out what you need to do when the Spirit moves you, then the concept of financial dating is not for you. So that moves us into what is it? What is financial dating? Financial dating is for people who want to make a commitment to having financial dates consistently. And I used to tell people, you know, try and have 1 to 3 financial dates a month. And I realized that I was doing a disservice to the people that I was presenting to, because I really believe, like this analogy of this runner, if you the more progress that you want to make in your life, the faster you want to progress, then I would really encourage you to have 3 financial dates a month of maybe 1 hour each. If, you know, keeping in mind this analogy of if you really want to commit to creating change and this idea of this runner, this is how you do it. However, if that's too much for you, it's better to at least do it. Set a time aside to work on your finances once a month. Start small and create a plan for doing more. So as far as that's the first part of what financial dating is. It's this commitment to set aside a time in your calendar and focus on your finances. And I'll tell more specifics about what that would look like as far as what you would do. The second part is these keystones that I've developed that I call in my 7 financial dating keystones. So this piece is, how do you need to be on a personal level? What do we need to be like when we have these financial dates with our partner or with ourselves in order to really create change? So these are some very kind of ways of being, very internal pieces, and I'll talk about one of those. The third part that I have to financial dating, and there's 5 sections that I've divided this into, is using a formula. I've created a formula for couples or an individual to use when they sit down to have their financial date, so it is interesting, it's fun, it's stimulating, it's connecting. It makes it more than just, all right, let's talk about, you know, our money. Okay, I better pay off those credit card bills, you know. So there's the third part is having a formula. So we have making a commitment is the first one. The second one is integrating these 7 keystones. The third is using a formula to help you create connection and ensure that you accomplish your goals. The fourth are some specific action. I don't really have a good name for this fourth one yet, but it's basically specific things that you need to do to ensure that you achieve your goals. You know, many of us have ineffective habits when it comes to accomplishing our goals. So I compiled like just 8 specific simple things that you can do during your dates that will help you ensure that you achieve your financial goals. The fifth one and the last one is having a roadmap to financial success, knowing where you are now and where you're going, but having this broader picture of what are these overall financial goals that you want to work towards. And I'm definitely going to save some time to discuss that because I think that's really important to have an understanding. So that's kind of the outline, kind of the skeleton of what financial dating is. And I'm going to, like I said, kind of pull this apart and mention a few things, just 1 or 2 things out of each of these that I think are particularly important. Do you guys have any questions about this at all?
So far, so good.
Okay, great. So as far as these 7 keystones, the importance of these keystones are for when you sit down, you say, okay, honey, let's have our date, let's do it, you know, Thursday at 7 p.m., and then you sit down to have your date, or you say, okay, I'm going to have this date by myself, and I'm going to have it at 7 p.m., and what's the first thing that either of, you know, anyone can speak to this, what's the first thing that you guys tend to feel when you sit down to work on money and figure out, you know, do money action steps, whatever it is, paying the bills, what's the first thing that you tend to feel inside?
Anxiety.
Anxiety. Yeah. Anything else?
Maybe some resistance.
Yeah. Anxiety and resistance is perfect. So when we feel this anxiety and resistance, how do we normally react to that? What do we do? But let's just think about it in terms of money. When you feel anxiety and resistance, what happens next after you feel that?
I change the topic.
Change the topic, okay.
I don't do it.
What?
I don't do it, you know, like we should talk about money, and then you feel stressed. You're like, oh, maybe not.
Yep. Do something else. Did you have something to add to that, Chris?
No.
Okay. This is exactly what happens, and that is why the keystone that I want to highlight for you guys is this keystone of being present. And like I said, this is one of seven. And the kind of my point in mentioning this is that these are keystones. These are things before we have our financial date with ourselves or with our partner to read through some of these keystones and remind yourself of how you want to be and show up. So being present.
So are these like the rules?
These are not the rules. These are guidelines. These are things that you can read. If I had time to explain them all in detail, I would certainly do that. But these are basically a way of setting an intention for how you want to be, not necessarily the things, not how you what you want to do. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So let me give you this story about being present, and I think you guys will relate to this as far as the tension and the resistance. Being present, we hear this. We're not unfamiliar with this concept, right? But I noticed for my husband and I, before we would sit down to have our financial date, we had scheduled it for, you know, a week, and I noticed like an hour or even 2 hours before we would sit down to have our financial date, I felt so much tension. And where I store my tension is in my neck. And I just felt my neck like all jammed up. And yet here I was, I knew I wanted to do these dates. But it was incredible, this amount of tension. And so we'd sit down together, and I'd still feel it in my neck. And you know what that tension was for me? When I had this understanding about what this tension was about, it didn't completely go away, but it significantly subsided. For me, my tension was about seeing where we were currently. This was our financial situation. We had all this credit card debt. And we were newly married. I mean, we had so much to do as far as setting up retirement accounts and emergency savings accounts. I felt like on a scale of 1 to 1,000, we were starting out at like a minus 10. And my anxiety was all about looking at where we were right now at that current time and seeing like how far we had to go. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to take us forever. And when I realized that our success, our financial dates, had absolutely nothing to do with what we accomplished. It had everything to do with how we showed up, with my ability to be present with my husband. And for what I came up with that worked for me is I would say a prayer to myself. My husband and I also, he's comfortable with prayer, so we would say a prayer together. But I said one on my own before we started our dates, and I prayed just to be present and feel all this tension in my body. And if all we did during our financial dates was be present and hold this tension and make an effort to connect, then that's all that really mattered. And so when you think about that for yourself, if this is something that you want to do for yourself, have a financial date on your own, think about feeling your own tension and allowing yourself to be where you are and take the time that it takes to take these baby steps towards making, you know, paying off your credit card debt or whatever all these things are. And the idea being, when I could just allow myself to be where we were, then all of a sudden that tension and anxiety significantly lessened, and we had a lot more connecting conversations, and we actually ended up accomplishing a lot more. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to add to that?
Oh, I think that's good.
I think it feels really powerful.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I know the words, but I can kind of feel that not being present is the root of all the problems we've already talked about. Anyway, we'd have the money, we'd have what it is we're saying that we want if we could learn to be present and to make these connections in all areas of our life.
Yeah. We're in such a rush to get somewhere else. It's hard. We forget in our mind that the way to actually get somewhere else is to really completely be with where we are. And in the area of finances, that is so hard, because if you don't have enough money coming in, or if you have all these bills piling up, that is the very last place you want to be.
Yeah.
And
I think an easy way to look at it is to say, well, we probably haven't been present before, and look at this, look how much that helped, you know?
Huh.
So maybe doing the opposite is a good idea.
Great. Yeah, that's true. Looking at where that's gotten you and being willing to do this. And, yeah, it's so powerful. And especially when you're, like I said, it equally applies if you're doing this as an individual or if you're doing it with, you know, a partner. So that's one of those seven keystones. And then moving on to this formula that I came up with, and then I'll jump to the roadmap, and then we can just kind of tie up with the, you know, any questions that you guys have. I developed this formula, like I said, because I wanted our financial dates to be more than just all about taking action. I wanted it to have a little more depth to it. So I developed, and I didn't like sit down and say, okay, honey, here's our 12-step formula. This just kind of evolved from the choices of what we ended up doing during our financial dates. So what we would start with, I'll break this formula up into not the specific 12 steps, but the beginning, kind of like the intro, you know, the first part of our date, the middle part of our date, and the last part of our date. And so when we first, at the beginning of our dates, we would pick an atmosphere, a location. Where did we think about where you want to have this financial date for yourself or with your partner? Now, a lot of people automatically assume that they need to have it at home, at their desk, by their computer, in a very uninspiring place. And I've had couples that I've worked with that have gone out to restaurants to have their financial dates, that have gone out to parks to have their financial dates. It's a date. It can be a date. And so think about how you might want to take yourself on a date. If you're going to do this by yourself, or what about your partner? Where would you guys like to go to make this special? And then, what's that? No, go ahead.
It's really funny you say that, because I recently had a date that kind of went bad with my wife, because we had to take our littlest one, who is 6 months. And so we had a babysitter for the other two, but I thought it would be really cool, because we both have been working very hard, to go to a local show, like a theater show. And so while our baby wasn't crying, she was, you know, just, you know, making all sorts of noises and stuff. So my wife went to the back of the theater for a while, and then I went to check on her, and then she said, we just have to leave. So we basically saw like 20 minutes of the show. Well, now we have a babysitter for another couple of hours, and we're driving around, and we're kind of mad at ourselves for assuming that we could spend the money on a show, and, you know, money's tight anyway, so it was like, now it's wasted. And, you know, we just went home and, like, took the babysitter home. And, like, had we had this, like, idea of talking about our finances, I think it would have given us something to kind of focus to around the date. You know, so it would have been like, hey, well, at least we could still talk about this. So if we had planned on, like, you know, theater and then financial date, let's say. We would have had, like, a little bit of a purpose rather than, well, we're just going to sit here being mad and staring at each other and being upset that this didn't go well and whose idea was this anyway type of thing. So I think it would have been nice to have some sort of a purpose to a date.
Yeah. And right, so all would not have been lost. And
right.
To hear you say purpose, I love hearing you say that because that's really what these dates are. They're very purposeful. It's not like a question of what you're going to do. It's very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So, yeah, thinking about where you want to go, and then this other part of, like, the beginning of your date, I kind of think of this as setting the stage. And many of us, whether we're working on our financial date by ourselves or with our partner, how we have a normal way of reacting around money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, our way of handling money. And we mentioned the anxiety and the resistance that we have. Well, part of this setting the stage is building connection with your partner or with yourself. And so I encourage people to think about how they can build connection. How, you know, and so I have a whole bunch of things that I offer. Like if you do this with your partner, this might seem a little contrived initially, this first thing that I'm going to suggest, but once you try it, it's pretty amazing, the power of it, is as simple as giving each other a few compliments. And it can have amazing results. Or setting your intention. Think about, you know, what's your intention during your date. My intention may be saying, you know, I really intend to be calm and really feel my anxiety around this and be open and loving towards myself, not beat myself up when I look at what's currently going on with my finances, and do the same with my partner. So there's lots of different things that you can do that I explain in more detail in my book and in my classes, but the idea that I want you guys to take away is how can you build connection when you have these dates? And the last part of setting the stage, I call getting financially smart together. You know, how is it that think about how you can improve your understanding of finances when you have these dates? And I suggest finding a book that on finances that you that's at your level, your financial level, and taking like 7 minutes or 10 minutes and just reading it to yourself if you're doing this as an individual, or if you're doing it with your partner, reading it out loud. This part is so simple but very powerful, because if you have often in a coupleship, and even as individuals, we don't know all there is to know about money. And when it comes to coupleship, one partner tends to know more than the other, or we think we know more, but we don't. And this is a way of getting, you know, on the same financial page. And it's very, there's nothing like condemning about it or condescending. It's just like, all right, let's read. And I really like David Box or Susie Orman's. They use a lot of just straightforward everyday language and just reading out loud from this. And then talking about it briefly before you jump into your date. So that's kind of the part of setting the stage. And I have, as far as the middle section of having your dates, this would be like thinking about, I mean, I only have 5 minutes to kind of tie this all up, but it's about like understanding what your financial goals are and how to work towards accomplishing those. I'm just going to kind of generalize so I can give you guys the overall perspective here. The last part is making sure that you're taking away something from your date. What is the homework that you're going to do, what making sure that you've established the agenda for your next date before you leave your current date. And it's so easy to forget where we were at after, you know, you complete your current date, and then a week passes, maybe a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, and you sit down to have your next date, and it's like, okay, what am I supposed to do? But if you write down this agenda during your current date, then you can know exactly where to start, and you don't have to wonder about it. Let's see. I'm going to end with just giving – I mentioned these steps in my newsletter, but I'm just going to review them again. The last part, as I mentioned, is this roadmap for financial success. And these are – how many goals do I have here, did I say? I have like 12 goals for your financial dating checklist. And developing a cohesive partnership. And I'll read through these really quick, and I can email them to you guys if you want. Integrating these keystones during your financial date. Learning how to manage your money effectively. And, of course, within all these, there's like 12 steps to help you do that, right? The fourth one is paying off debt. The fifth one is contributing to emergency savings accounts. Sixth is making sure your retirement account is adequately funded and that it's going to allow you to meet your retirement goals. The seventh is making plans for your estate. Eighth is having adequate insurance, and of course there's all kinds of insurance to think about, life, health, disability. Ninth is setting up accounts to fund your big dreams. 10 is giving to others. 11 is teaching your children well when it comes to finances. And the 12th is living richly. So this idea of having this rich quality of life, because that's what many of us are after when it comes to improving our finances. We want to live life in a certain way. So I kind of ran through all those really quick. Do you have any questions about those?
I just want to hear more.
I think Chris had, I'm sure Chris had to leave.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm so, like, this whole checklist is a whole, like, well, this is the part of my book, right? I mean, this is a big
sure.
chunk of my book. And then what I've done is divided up the financial dates so that you don't have to figure out what you need to do on your financial date. It's I have financial dates that specifically tell people what to do that help achieve, you know, these specific goals.
So it's kind of like 12 dates?
Well, in my book that I'm going to complete soon,
mm-hmm.
It's my quick start book. So I came up with like 9 financial dates. And to give people the base, this foundation, and then in my second book, I'm going to give the additional dates to make sure that people can achieve all of these goals that I've listed here.
Yeah, well, the if you do 3 dates a month, it's 90 days.
Yeah.
You know.
And the thing about these dates, even though I've divide them up into individual dates, it's actually not even possible to accomplish each date within an hour. And
right.
And I'm just going to kind of have my disclaimer there, because some of them will take, like, you know, several dates. Like financial date number 2 could take, you know, 2 or 3 dates.
Date.
So it could take a month to actually complete.
Sure.
And that's important, you know, to go at the pace that feels right for you.
Now, are the financial dates all about that communication and the goal setting and this or that? Is any of it about paying the bills?
Yes, absolutely. There are specifics about how to get rid of debt, how to decide, you know, knowing where you spend your money each month, and and making decisions about, well, they call it creating a spending plan for yourself.
Okay.
So that you decide in advance how you're going to spend your money. And then there's stuff that I've done with self-employed professionals as far as, you know, helping people project their income, you know, to be aware of what's going to happen 3 months out so it doesn't, so they have time to create change in their income instead of all of a sudden acting like, oh, I don't know how this happened.
Right.
That we don't have enough money.
Right. That
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you
yeah.
so much.
You bet. Thanks
awesome.
For joining.
It's good stuff.
All right.
I'm looking forward to the recording.
Cool. Good deal.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon.
All
okay.
Right.
Bye.